Well, thanks everybody for coming to this session, and I'm really thrilled to be part of this panel, and as the other people were speaking, I thought, oh, yeah, that's true for us too. So, and I saw a lot of nodding heads, so, and I know we want to leave enough time for questions, so I'll be as brief as I can be, and I'm just curious. I'm Rhonda Johnson. I'm from the University of Alaska Anchorage, and I work with our graduate program in public health, and our other co-presenter who's not with me today is Natasha Pineda, who was a graduate student who was actively involved with the project. And the project I'm going to talk about today is really quite different in some ways than the very extensive, very nice evaluation designs. We were asked to do a very quick snapshot of a local program in Anchorage. I'm just curious, are there any other Alaskans in the room? Well, you know, honorary Alaskans are always welcome. I hope you all have a positive impression of our state and that it continues after this presentation, but I was struck by some of the numbers that were given, and I have no disclosures. And I would guess that probably everybody in this room has a general goal that we would love to have healthy homes free of violence. I'm going to talk particularly around the Anchorage Domestic Violence Prevention Project, or ADVPP. And it was founded actually in 2006, and it's a community-based collaboration, and I'll talk about the partners in just a little bit. But it includes law enforcement, the municipality, prosecutor's office, the police, the local domestic violence shelter, and the public health agency. And why should we evaluate? Why were we looking at it? Is, as many of you know, if you're a frontline worker in this area, you can get a little bit overwhelmed with just dealing with the day-to-day. And they asked us to come in a very short period of time to kind of give them a quick snapshot of how they were doing. And we did a very brief little mixed method. We looked at their data. We did a lit review around what are best practices for community collaborations. We did key informant interviews with key players, asking them specifically what lessons have they learned from their own involvement. And then we did two focus groups with women who were served by the program. So the bottom line, the take-home message from today, is that this evidence-based collaboration in Anchorage is and has had positive impact, but there's still room for improvement. And in this phase of the project, we only looked at 1 year period, which was 2011 to 2012, that there were more women served, although they did fewer formal assessments. And it was interesting because they were hoping to do the, you know, the Jackie Campbell danger assessment, and who was going to do it and how it was going to be done varied among the partners and what they, who was supposed to be doing it. And there were more court supports. And the presentation earlier about how important that is, that was actually a very positive outcome of this. And then I provide very brief recommendations. So why do we even have a domestic violence prevention project in Anchorage? And just some kind of, I hope, stunning numbers, even for a sophisticated audience like this, is we just did a statewide population-based survey about victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and 58.6% of Alaskan women have had exposure to either domestic violence or sexual assault. And as we were hearing the numbers from Mozambique, I was thinking, that's after a civil war for 15 years, and our numbers are higher than that. 11.8% have had some personal exposure to sexual assault, and those who report domestic violence in the last year at statewide is 47.6%. We routinely rank number one or two for domestic violence and sexual assault in the United States. And the numbers on the other side of the screen are those for Anchorage specific. And for those of you who aren't familiar with how we're spread out in our big state, about half, a little bit less than half of the population lives in Anchorage, and the rest are other places. So we have a big problem. And as I mentioned, this started with, in 2006, the municipality, the Division of Public Health, are actually the grant owners. Law enforcement is the Anchorage Police Department. The Department of Law is the Municipal Prosecutor's Office, and then the Shelter Services, an organization called AWAKE, which is Abused Women's Aid in Crisis. And when we did our very quick lit review, again, this is probably familiar to the audience, but we wanted to share this with the partnership. What do we think is effective for these community-based prevention coalitions? And there were five practices. There's actually quite a bit of literature about. This particular domestic violence prevention project was funded through the Department of Public Safety, and they were particularly interested in offender accountability. And if you look at the balance of partners, you can see that there's sort of an emphasis on law enforcement and prosecution. But I think those of us who understand the benefit of bringing other partners together know that it has to be a coordinated response from very different kinds of players. And once you've identified people, those few people who actually seek services, and we understand it's a tip of the iceberg, you have to effectively manage it. And those who are trying to make decisions in these really crisis situations, you have to have high-quality, accurate data in a timely manner to be able to make appropriate decisions for safety. And everybody's interested in victim safety. So what are some findings here? We did look at just 1 year's group of the people who were served, and there's about 300,000 300,000 people that live in the municipality of Anchorage. About just less than 500 were served by the AWAKE shelter. And you can see that most of them were getting support through the criminal justice process, and we'll come back to that, made referrals to the violent crime compensation, follow-up case management with other services, receiving emergency aid, and we'll kind of come back to this. And one of the initiatives, and there had been like training of all the partners here to do the danger assessment, and was it going to be at AWAKE or was it going to be the prosecutors who did it when they did victim testimony? And actually very few people, I think about 75, I don't remember the exact number, I think it's on another slide, actually had the danger assessment. But those who did it were in very high danger. And in talking with the key informants, they were selecting those who they felt like, this seems really dangerous. Is it really? Yes, it is. And so it was not universally used, but it was helpful for the process. We live in a big state, and about a quarter of those women, a little bit, maybe 20% of those women actually got financial assistance. And we actually relocated a lot of people with this program. And what was surprising to the group is that almost two-thirds of those who relocated were relocated out of the state. And it's not actually easy to get to Alaska. It's really hard to get out. And so this financial assistance and relocation was really important. And some people from Anchorage moved into Bush, Alaska, and then another group moved around in Alaska, in Anchorage. But the relocation was actually a big finding. People hadn't noticed that that was happening. So a couple of quotes from our key informants. From the staff, and I guess there's a quote for each of the five kind of evidence-based practices. So this one, for those of you who can't read, and not that can't read, this small slide.
Yes.
This is an AWAKE staff person saying, the program is important. This program is so key to success in our community, and we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're still necessary because we're not finished yet. Domestic violence isn't gone, and we have, you know, the rural communities. So we still have so much work to do with education and really reaching out and putting this program out. And yes, it's been around for a long time. That was, you know, 6 years. But there are still people that don't know we exist. And it's true. I'm thinking about the comment, it's easy to get information out. No, it's not. These people are very isolated. And when everyone knows we're here and what we do and domestic violence is gone, then we'll be glad to turn my keys over. And the challenges were really this coordination. There was limited meeting time because everybody's doing frontline services. The funding stability was year to year, so it was not consistent. And the services were actually dispersed across a pretty wide city. But actually, a lot of the key players since the beginning of this program are still in place in each of the agencies, and that was a big advantage. So here's the Anchorage Police Department quote about effective case management. And really the role of the Anchorage Police in this is they did compliance checks. When people were actually, there was a protective order, or they were released with conditions, they actually went out to the person's home in full uniform and made sure that they were actually doing their bail conditions. So, and they, this sort of relates also to informed decision making. In order for them to be able to do that appropriately in a timely manner, they had to have accurate information about bail conditions in a timely manner. And so their comment was, one comment was, on our side, sometimes there's a high turnover of clerks, and we see the accuracy of the database going downhill. The database isn't being kept up often or as accurately as possible. We bring that up again and again, and we don't want to arrest people that don't need to be arrested. And at the same time, we don't want people to slip through the cracks. And so from a law enforcement area, this was a problem in terms of clerk staff turnover. Again, related to informed decision-making, and this is a cop talking, who's been doing compliance checks, he says, if there's a weakness now, it's that the consequence to the behavior is not swift or sure enough. They really need to get automated, the court system. They really need to start being able to track what happens to people once they disappear into the system, figure out just the basic questions. How much time are people, and he's got a little, nobody in the state will be able to tell you how much average time somebody who's been convicted of domestic violence will spend in jail. That's a question that can't be answered, but it's a basic question. So just figuring out how you get accurate data across systems. And this goal of accountable offenders, and this is the municipality of Anchorage Department of Health and Social Services staff, the grant administrators. And their comment was, I think the success has been in large part because it's a joint, you know, multi-agency project in the three pieces, and she's not counting herself as part of that. The prosecutor's office providing bail conditions, detectives doing the compliance checks, getting information for the lawyers for background has improved the prosecution success. I mean, these are essential to holding offenders accountable. And that actually did show up. The difficulty is we have a law office or a position called a magistrate, which is on-the-job training. And many of these cases at the municipality level are managed by magistrates who may or may not understand the significance of this and other provider training. And then this is from the municipal prosecutor's office related to victim safety. Everything we do, all this translates into victim safety. It doesn't matter that we got a conviction. I mean, that's yay for us, whatever. But the idea is the victim is safer because of every single one of these things that we've done. It's not just that she's safe, but she knows long term if she stays in that relationship, this is what the criminal justice system is going to do for her. When I first started doing this kind of work, I'd hear it a lot of time. Well, the police don't care. Nothing's going to happen to them. I don't hear that anymore. So this is a social norm that's changing. Because that's not systematically what happens anymore. It is actually different. We care something's going to happen to him. We don't care if you don't want something to happen to him. They're really going to advocate for the women and changing the culture. So just a few quotes from the women. I am aware of time. A client saying, the advocate, and these are women who are served by AWAKE who were willing to participate in a focus group. And the advocate at the courthouse was an incredible resource for me and still is. I think that's a relief because navigating through some of the court stuff when I've not dealt with that before, it was a huge help. People really felt very appreciative of the services that were provided. They did talk about that there needed to be training. People talk about provider training and magistrate training, but this particular person was saying, and a lot of nods around the group when this was discussed, yes, we need training for utilities. For social services, if there's something where everyone can kind of key in or code in that we're connected to AWAKE, that AWAKE can advocate for us, that we're DV victims, and can we just, I don't know, do something where there's a little more than a red flag, where the staff is trained, because I feel safe here. These were actually conducted at the shelter, but I do not feel safe anywhere else at all. I mean, at all. And so we have just a series of recommendations. There's 11, and I'll be brief. So not surprisingly, again, this is from people who are actively involved, already engaged in the system. Consistent and predictable funding is really essential. And this is a municipal project. There's no state involvement. And one of the big issues that happened is if they were repeat offenders at the municipal level, the state prosecutors weren't involved if it rose to a felony. And so engaging the state partners was really important, and this has been a municipal project. And this, even within the municipality, the databases between the prosecutors, AWAKE, and the police are not integrated. We have a Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, which is because of these kind of statistics in our state, we really have been trying to get a dashboard going, and this project didn't specifically contribute their data to that dashboard, and we said that would be good. The facilitating magistrate training and expanding legal advocacy and support services, because this was focused on offender accountability, and there was a recognition that that was, the positive is that there's been a social norm change. The negative is that there's still not enough legal supports for the women who are entering the court system, the small numbers that actually do. Our APD, the Anchorage Police Department, really does have this culture that is from the top down, not just these two detectives, that all officers should be domestic violence experts, and that they all need to think of this as something that everybody does, not just these guys who check on stuff. The limited problem is because there's only two full-time guys, they don't always cover weekends or evenings, and these are often when people are released from jail. There was some discussion about having a feasibility study about a family justice center, a one-stop shopping. I think we've tried to do that with health and social services, not so much with some of these other supports. The relocation and the flexible funding that women and families could use that as they needed was really important, and only one of their funding sources was that flexible. And a lot of women also talked about, I learned so much, like the focus groups were almost like therapy, and they said, I learned so much from other women who have had this experience, and if we can't get more training for the legal system, at least let women who have successfully navigated the system be peer supports and train them and help them so that they become more empowered themselves, but also sort of this help, you know, peer trainer kind of stuff. And then the last two are, there is a municipal level fatality review team that the partners in this this partnership have just started, and they look at those who fell through the cracks and actually died. And much like the FIMRs or the maternal mortality reviews that probably many people are familiar with, this AVDVR, the FR, has actually been a very interesting learning experience for the partnership. And it takes, they said it would take several weeks to actually go through the information they had. How did we miss it? What would we have done differently? Was it something that we could have done differently? And then the training for all kinds of school health and social service providers. And this is my contact information. So thank you very much.